Now, Ireland's Foreign Affairs Minister, Simon Coveney, has said that if a government is not formed in Northern Ireland, it could trigger another election or decisions being made by London and Dublin. This is what Mr. Coveney told RTE's The Week in Politics at the weekend.
Well, I mean, if we can't do that, in other words, if we try and try again and still fail to put an executive, a devolved government structure that functions in place in Northern Ireland, then we have to look back to the Good Friday Agreement again. You know, that's where the rules are set. That's where the structures have been outlined. And of course, then, you know, there's the prospect of a whole series of other choices, from another election to the triggering of, you know, intergovernmental conferences to make decisions in Northern Ireland, decisions that would normally be taken by devolved government. That is not where we want to be. That will cause tension. It will be a very frosty environment to make decisions in, because people don't want that. So I think we all have a responsibility now to try to find, in a practical sense, a way forward so that people can work together, even from very different backgrounds.
So could a form of joint authority be on the cards? SDLP's Claire Hannah's on the line. Morning to you, Claire.
Good morning.
Morning. And the TV leader, Jim Allister. Good morning to you, Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning. What do you make of that, Claire?
Well, the first things to say is that you've jumped right to the end of what he said, and I think if you listen back or you read back on his comments, he is making abundantly clear that absolutely the worst case scenario, and he speaks at length making sure that isn't the case, because I think sensible people don't want to talk about what happens if we don't get a deal. They want to get a deal, and they want to make sure that we've exhausted all the options. Which I don't believe we have. There's never been a facilitated talks process. We haven't even had all-party talks yet in the local phase. It's just been the big party. So, yes, he's talking about what happens if we absolutely can't, but he makes very, very clear how serious this is, that this is the Good Friday Agreement. This is strand one on which everything else rests. The whole of Europe has been talking about protecting the Good Friday Agreement for the last couple of weeks, and now it's really important that people in Northern Ireland really do what they can to protect it.
Intergovernmental conferences to make decisions on Northern Ireland, Jim. That's Dublin.
Well, I think Mr. Coveney is living in his own bit of winter wonderland, because if we go to what the British-Irish Agreement actually says, first of all, it establishes this British-Irish conference to deal at present with non-devolved matters. And such has been the interest of the Irish government in non-devolved matters that that conference hasn't met since 2007. So, you know, here he is now beating his chest, talking about calling a conference.
Well,
it could have been meeting to deal with non-devolved issues and hasn't been.
But Jim, there are no devolved issues now. And someone needs to make decisions.
Yes. Well, they are still in law devolved to Stormont.
There is no Stormont.
They are still in law devolved to Stormont. If Stormont is abolished and those powers revert to Westminster, then they come within, yes, the ambit of that conference. But let's be very clear what power that conference gives the Irish government. Does not give it the power to make decisions. Let me read you the terminology of the agreement. The Irish, on which matters on which the Irish government may put forward views and proposals, they do not make decisions. And there's recognition in that agreement of the sovereignty. There will be no derogation from the sovereignty of either government. That's the wording of the agreement as well.
And yet, Simon Coveney is Ireland's Foreign Affairs Minister, and he is saying that those intergovernmental conferences will make decisions.
Well, he's wrong.
That's what he is saying.
He's wrong in terms of the wording of the agreement.
This is also an Irish government, Jim, who have said they will not leave nationalists behind.
This is an Irish government which is trying to out Sinn Féin on some issues in terms of fighting the next election in the Republic. And Mr. Coveney, of course, in one breath, he says, I want to reassure unionists. And then in the next breath, he wants to set up joint authority. You know, this is the aggressive Mr. Coveney we've got used to. And he is alienating unionists left, right and centre of all shades.
Okay.
And I think he needs to get a grip on himself.
Claire?
It's so important. I hope people don't get their only perspective on Simon Coveney, on the Irish government and Irish politics, through this programme and the lens of people like Jim Allister and other people from the DUP, because it's complete mischaracterisation. He is not in any way somebody beating his chest or trying to alarm nationalists. And really, I don't know if people grasp the electoral landscape, there is nobody who is sitting going, will I vote Fine Gael or will I vote Sinn Féin? There's no crossover between those two votes. He's doing his job. He's trying his best to avoid scenarios where we are into any sort of intergovernmental conference. He's trying his best not to frighten the horses. He's trying his best to protect the interests of Ireland.
Well, Claire, he is saying these intergovernmental conferences would have the capacity to make decisions in Northern Ireland, something which Jim Allister is saying there is no legislation to support.
But as you said to Jim, unfortunately, if it's the case, and it shouldn't be the case, you know, if ever there was a basis for talks, and that's the phrase we're hearing, there's no basis for talks, Brexit is that basis. And people can stay out for a year or 100 years. But you know what, Stephen? The answer will still be the same. We will all still be here and we will all still need to find ways to work in partnership and towards reconciliation. So I think what Simon Coveney's...
Would you rule out joint authority, Claire?
Absolutely not. It has to be joint authority if there's no... But let's not get to the worst case scenario yet.
Does it say joint authority in the Good Friday Agreement, Claire?
It is simply not acceptable. It is simply not acceptable that the failure of this process within Northern Ireland would lead to direct rule at the hands of particularly this government, one that we've gone too far past direct rule and unfettered direct rule.
Claire.
And particularly, let me finish this point, that this Conservative government have shown absolutely no understanding or grasp of the needs of Northern Ireland.
Claire, where does it say joint authority in the Good Friday Agreement? It doesn't. So are you throwing out the Good Friday Agreement now?
I'm doing the exact opposite. I don't have the document in front of me to see where it does and doesn't say.
Well, you must know that it doesn't talk about joint authority.
As far back as 1985, allows for an Irish dimension. I mean, you know, if people want to say this would be the worst thing in the world, then let's find ways to have devolution. Nobody wants to jump straight to joint authority, but unfettered direct rule
by the Conservatives. Right, let's slow down.
The DUP.
Claire, this is very important. So, an Irish dimension, as you describe it, all Ireland structures. I get that. We've talked about that before. The Irish government expressing opinion. We've talked about that before. But are you actually saying that you believe the Irish government can, if there is not a return to Stormont, make decisions pertinent to Northern Ireland?
They're not going to be unilaterally making decisions. I think you need to clarify.
Make decisions with the British government.
We're not talking about joint sovereignty. We're not in any way saying that Northern Ireland would cease to be in the UK until it's the will of the majority. It's not breaching the principle of consent. It's joint administration, and it's really having a role. And unfortunately, we will be in uncharted territory. And
joint administration?
That it will have a role. It's not going to be the case that London can sit with their fingers in their ears, just occasionally listening to wee pipe-ups from the DUP. Really, the whole point is the way to get this breadth of views is to do it in devolution.
Claire, this joint administration, as you describe it, who in Northern Ireland voted for the Irish government?
Who in Northern Ireland voted for the British government? You know, the point is, Stephen, we voted, we are a diversity of people here. There are a variety of different views. Not everybody here is a hard Brexiter and a hard unionist. Far from it.
Okay.
And we have to find ways for all this. But look, you're making it sound like we're saying, let's go, yee-haw, joint authority, joint administration, whatever what you want to call it. The SDLP is very clear. We stick by the Good Friday Agreement in all its parts. We want relationships to work in Northern Ireland on a north-south and on a
north-south. Well, obviously you don't.
And everybody else needs to get on to that.
Jim, okay, Jim Allister.
Obviously you don't, Claire, because you're now expounding a philosophy which is contrary to your precious Belfast Agreement, because it is very clear that there can be no constitutional change in the constitutional status.
We're not asking for a single...
Belfast Agreement, Jim Allister.
No, I'm talking about her precious Belfast Agreement. The very essence...
You're now using it to defend your position.
Let's not trivialise this. The very essence of what Claire is saying in demanding joint authority. Vagrantly breaches.
Stephen, you're not going to let him characterise it.
Vagrantly breaches the consent principle because it perfects constitutional change. That instead of being ruled as part of the United Kingdom, you are now to be ruled jointly with a foreign government in Dublin. That perfects constitutional change and does it without consent and therefore breaches Clare's precious Belfast Agreement.
All
so she really does need to sort out her confusion on this issue. She's for the Belfast Agreement and against joint authority, or she's for joint authority and against the Belfast Agreement.
And the very agreement that you're against, Jim Allister, you're using to protect the Union.
I'm using its own terms, which are not my draftings, but they are the terms of the Belfast Agreement, which protect consent against constitutional change, and Clare Hannah and Simon Coveney are advocating that very thing without consent. But joint authority is constitutional change, no matter how you dress it up. Get back to what it actually says, Clare. It says it does not talk about joint decisions. It talks about the Irish government putting forward views and proposals and no derogation from the sovereignty of the government.
But
let's not mislead people about what's possible.
Well, let's let him reply.
I think Jim, with respect, him thinks this is a game. He will always, if he just hypes up, cranks up the tension and kind of points and laughs at nationalism and Remainers, ha-ha, you're trapped in here with this. We're trying to defuse it. We're trying to defuse the tension. The first case, the first, second, third, fourth, fifth preference should be local devolved administration, and there aren't good enough reasons to not have that, to call the whole thing off. And what we're trying to do, and what I think Simon Coveney is trying to do, is look creatively at future solutions if that doesn't happen, without taking the responsibility off those who need to
That
happen. And
Simon Coveney is dishonestly cranking it up, talking about joint decision making.
This is
up.
This is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you talk about what we do if we don't have devolution, it takes the pressure on those who really should. And I know it's hard, and government is always hard, and here it's harder in particular, but I go back to what I said. None of the problems are going away, whether it is joint authority, whether it's direct rule, whether it's rule from Dublin, none of the issues are going away. We still require governance here, and we still require relationships.
What do you mean, whether it's joint authority or rule from Dublin?
Well,
I
was speaking rhetorically. My point is, Stephen, even those, if there are Republicans who think to sit back, oh sweet, this will lead to a united Ireland if we just sit back for a couple. I make the point again and again, it won't, in that we will always have relationships here within Northern Ireland. No community is going anywhere, and we always have to find ways to do partnership or reconciliation. So you or Jim or anybody can try and crank it up and talk about constitutional change. That wasn't what Simon Coveney was doing.
It was.
That's not what I'm doing.
Sorry.
But it is not going to be acceptable to people here, to a lot of people here, to have unfettered conservative rule by this government who have shown no understanding or institutional memory or care about the reality of life for people here.
Here's what we have done.
Because this is not going to be acceptable.
This is very important stuff. If you are just joining us this morning, so the Irish Foreign Affairs Minister has said that the Irish government can make decisions in Northern Ireland. He has said the following. If an executive is informed, he said, quote, then there is the prospect of a whole series of other choices, from another election to the triggering of the intergovernmental conferences to make decisions on Northern Ireland. It's crystal clear.
St Andrews in 2006.
So what we have done is we have gone to the Northern Ireland office this morning at 8:20, and we've asked the Secretary of State the following question. Does the Secretary of State believe another election is possible or necessary? And more to the point, we've also asked James Brokenshire the following question. Does the Secretary of State believe London and Dublin could make joint decisions on Northern Ireland through any structure? Now, we haven't heard from the NIO yet, but we'll give them a wee tinkle right now, in case they're out Christmas shopping or something, and we'll ask them, could they please answer that question? does the Secretary of State believe London and Dublin could make joint decisions on Northern Ireland through any structure? Jim Allister, are you worried about this?
Well, I never liked the Belfast Agreement. I never liked the British-Irish Agreement, which flows from it. But I will take refuge and insist upon its terms when there are those like Mr. Coveney trying to bend those terms, and the terms are very clear. There will be no derogation from sovereignty, and the Irish government may put forward views and proposals. That is a long way short of what Mr. Coveney is boasting, that he jointly with the British government will make decisions. He will not.
Jim, do you accept his right to put forward views and proposals?
He can put forward, he's a foreign minister, he can put forward views and proposals on China, on Korea, on South Africa, on anywhere he likes.
And again,
but he will not make decisions in any of those countries, nor will he make decisions in the United Kingdom, because he is indeed, as his title says, a foreign minister who would seek to meddle in the internal affairs of Northern Ireland. But I will not sit back and allow him to claim to himself powers he doesn't have. Nor should Claire Hannah, given her precious Belfast Agreement, be trying to big up those powers when they don't exist, and particularly when the bigging up of them would totally conflict with the consent principle, which we are told they all respect. Sometimes
we're told by the NIO.
Claire.
Very important. We're told by the NIO that they are trying to get us an answer from the Secretary of State to this question now, as to whether he believes London and Dublin could make joint decisions in Northern Ireland. Let's see if James Brokenshire contradicts what Simon Coveney has said. Go ahead, Claire.
Well, we stick by this. We'll stick by the principle of consent when it doesn't favour us, as in we would, you know, when it...
Well, then stop talking.
Let her finish, Jim. Let her finish. Let's let her finish.
Give over. We stick by it when it doesn't favour us and when it does, and that's, we stick by it in terms of being removed from the European Union, because people here did not give their consent to that as well. But Jim, and I think Jim is smart enough to know this, his deliberate othering and diminishing and putting the Irish government on the same par as the Chinese government or the Korean government there, it is so counterproductive. If he thinks that that is doing anything other than infuriating nationalists and making them more concerned, if he thinks that is in any way helpful, he is wrong. And that sort of attitude is probably what is driving people towards Irish unity, including very moderate unionists as well, who know that relationships are delicate. People have an identity and have aspirations that can't be suppressed in that way. So it is so counterproductive. But I think the good part, and I'm on my phone, so I can't check. And I think St Andrews Agreement does provide for these things. And I think if Jim is accepting that people can put forward, that the Irish government can put forward proposals and suggestions, then he is at least acknowledging that there is a role for them as well, and that we have to chart some sort of course for how those can be worked through by the two
governments.
Let's
say we're saying
home. Again,
home.
I come back, but I come back to the point: those are worst case scenarios. We shouldn't be there yet. We haven't even had facilitated talks or all parties.
Here's Alan Urie. Morning, Alan.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Good morning. The Good Friday Agreement and the Belfast Agreement are basically dead in the water. Because a couple of weeks ago, Leo Varadkar and Simon Coveney basically tried to annex Northern Ireland from the rest of the UK the way they wanted the EU borders and all drew. So that is dead in the water. They're trying to do something which the Provost and Sinn Féin couldn't do this last 40 years. They're going down the line the way Putin annexed Korea. So that is completely out. And as regards Leo Varadkar, I have no faith in him whatsoever.
Alan, thank you. And Richard and Dundonald. Morning, Richard.
Good morning, sir.
Go ahead.
I would like to ask Claire directly, does she think that the Irish government should have an input? Well, obviously have an input. But does she think that they should be giving us directions or making decisions? Do you think, Claire, that the Dublin government should be making decisions on matters in Northern Ireland directly? Could you answer yes or no?
Yes, I'm answering it yes. I think in the first instance, locally elected representatives should. But if that fails, and I hope it doesn't, I think there has to be a role, an input from the Irish government, because it's not tolerable to have direct rule with just the Conservative.
No, an input is different from joint administration, which is what you said earlier. You said joint administration, earlier.
There's nobody. I don't think I did. Maybe I did in terms of you asked me and I said yes. I don't think anybody is suggesting that Simon Coveney or Leo Varadkar or anybody else would wander up and unilaterally start making decisions on anything. But in terms of them having a role, in terms of fleshing out that St Andrews provision for input and proposals, yes, I do. To answer your caller's call very clearly, yes, I do.
What I take from that is they should be able to make decisions regarding health, education, infrastructure, and all the rest of it.
And why?
They should be able to make decisions. You tell me they should be able to make decisions on the health, education, infrastructure, and all the rest of it. And they have no financial input into Northern Ireland regards those things. Basically, the British government pays for all this, but they should be able to sit there down in the south and say, "Oh, we will make decisions on behalf of the people of Northern Ireland." I don't think so.
Have you thought this through in any way? Do you think it's going to be them just firing off missiles?
Do
you not trust the British government to moderate those? Do you think the British government are just going to take their remote control commands?
Fair. The British government finances Northern Ireland here. What I'm saying, whether you like it or not, if there's no government in Northern Ireland, we're going to be made direct rule. Now, you're telling me that the Free State government should be making decisions on my behalf? I don't think so.
Jim?
Well, the man from Dundonald, now for the first time, is spot on. It is a fundamental issue of constitutional certainty and propriety. We're part of the United Kingdom, therefore only those in governmental positions in the United Kingdom can make decisions about our affairs. The British-Irish Agreement gives the Irish government the right to put forward views and proposals. The sovereign determining body is within the United
Kingdom. Why do you think Simon Coveney has said this then?
Well, I think Simon Coveney has been in an aggressive mood for some months. I think that he is fighting the next southern election. Whether he's fighting it against Fianna Fáil and trying to out-nationalise them, or whether he's even hoping to out-nationalise the Sinn Féin, I think he's in the business of beefing up his nationalist credentials for electoral purposes.
Here's Albert.
I'm going to come in. I think this is really irresponsible, allowing this characterisation, not by you, by Jim, allowing this characterisation of people trying to solve a problem, trying to reduce tension, trying to facilitate...
Trying to reduce tension by saying to the people of Northern Ireland, we're going to give you joint authority?
Trying to reduce tension by saying we're going to deny you your constitutional right?
I think we need to let Claire finish. Let's let Claire finish.
I need to get a word in. But, Jim, I don't know if you literally just read that sentence or if you are pretending you didn't read the rest of it, but this allowing the Irish government to be characterised as some form of rabid nationalist trying to annex and so on, and that being allowed to happen unchecked, he is in a very calm fashion trying still to solve a problem. He has to deal with the ramifications of Brexit, and I think they've done that very, very well. But I'm not comfortable participating in allowing this what was intended to be a sensible proposal to be manipulated as some sort of annexation of Northern Ireland. But what is very, very clear...
Let's hear again what Simon Coveney said.
I think it's a right time to listen again to exactly what he said.
Well, I mean, if we can't do that, in other words, if we try and try again and still fail to put a devolved government structure that functions in place in Northern Ireland, then we have to look back to the Good Friday Agreement again. You know, that's where the rules are set. That's where the structures have been outlined. And of course, then, you know, there's the prospect of a whole series of other choices, from another election to the triggering of intergovernmental conferences to make decisions in Northern Ireland, decisions that would normally be taken by devolved government. That is not where we want to be. That will cause tension. It will be a very frosty environment to make decisions in, because people don't want that. So I think we all have a responsibility now to try to find, in a practical sense, a way forward so that people can work together, even from very different backgrounds.
So Claire, within that, as you listen to that for a second time, listen to the language of that. He says himself that the prospect of triggering intergovernmental conferences to make decisions in Northern Ireland will cause tension. And yet he's the man saying it.
Well, I think you can be very clear that that's not, those aren't the words in the tone of a man beating his chest and trying to annex. Yes, he knows that all of these manifestations are difficult, and that's he knows. And it took us decades to get it in place. He knows that the Good Friday Agreement and devolution is the first.
Why raise it before talks if he knows it's going to cause tension? Why talk about the Irish government making decisions in Northern Ireland?
Because some reassurance has to be given to people that we're not going to have just Theresa May and Nigel Dodds governing, because that is fundamentally a breach of the Good Friday Agreement.
So, Claire,
but if you listen, if you play, and I'm glad you played what he said, he is saying that he knows none of these are easy solutions. He is saying that the most logical solution is in front of
us. He's saying if we don't get Stormont up and running again, there might be these intergovernmental decisions made in Northern Ireland. Well, let me put this to you, Claire.
Hold on 2 seconds, because there is provision for them. And do you think it would be appropriate for him to say, and if there's no deal, we'll just walk away? We'll just walk away.
Let me read to you the definition of sovereignty. It says, the full right and power of a governing body over itself without any interference from outside sources or bodies. Now, how would joint authority be consistent with that definition of sovereignty?
Well, in case you hadn't figured out, we have the Good Friday Agreement here. We have a slightly less than normal constitutional settlement.
And strand one of that agreement?
I'm not. Strand one is relationships within Northern Ireland, and unfortunately, those are fairly strained at the moment. But a lot of this, Stephen, is a self-fulfilling prophecy. At the start of this year, people wanted it to get back up and running. And yes, the goodwill is diminishing because people are seeing relationships unravel. But as I said, none of us are going away. There are no alternatives to getting around dialogue, to resolving these problems. And I'm sure nobody wants to have to look at the other mechanisms, but they have to be considered. And
here's, here's Nigel. Let me get Nigel in before the news.
Can't not have a plan.
Morning, Nigel.
Hello. Hello, Stephen. Hello, Claire. Yeah, again, some of my brain's melting listening to all this.
Mine too.
Yeah, Claire, I mean, you said no sensible person wants to go back to direct rule. I mean, you're a sensible person, probably Jim as well. I am. I want to go back to direct rule. Like, we've had 10 years of getting the thing kind of up and going. We've had 10 years of mixed governments, in anyone's definition. Frankly, I just want someone to govern the place, with or without Dublin. Jim, I'm sorry to say, I couldn't give a fig. I just want some administration in the place.
Do you know what? I agree with you in a lot of ways, but unfortunately, the DUP and Sinn Féin have pushed it so that everybody thinks your choices are no government or terrible government. Those aren't the only options. You know, the fundamental...
Claire, sorry. The thing is, it's not the DUP and Sinn Féin. The really sad bit for people like you and me is it's the population of Northern Ireland. We don't want good government. We want sectarian headbutters to come together and headbutt each other, and then we go, oh, look, there's bad hospitals.
Okay.
Oh, look, there's bad schools.
Nigel, thank you. And Albert and Glengormley. Morning, Albert. Go ahead, Albert.
Nigel was making a very...
No, let's bring Albert in too.
If he can get a word in edgeways with Claire Hannah, you would deal well. But anyway, Simon Comey and the Taoiseach said there was no hidden agenda in the Brexit negotiations. Now we know that is out in the open. And now he's basically pushing this agenda to basically where his Ireland agenda is concerned. But what the problem is, we have a weak Secretary of State who, when he brought the budget into Northern Ireland, should have brought direct rule ministers here to basically be head of all the departments.
Well, the question remains with the NIO this morning. Does the Secretary of State believe London and Dublin could make joint decisions on Northern Ireland through any structure? And let's see what the NIO says. The news comes next. Thank you very much.